Okay, so the Mishnah, as we'd seen on Chafetz Amud Beis, had mentioned three cases. We had discussed the first one, which was the sweeping. So now we're up to number two. The second case, the second thing that Rav Gamliel had done, the Chachamim had forbidden, was manichen et hamugmar biyom tov. It was that they he used to make this incense to make the house smell good on yom tov.
Where are we on Chav Gimel?
Well, so we first read the Mishnah on Chav Beis Amud Beis, right? So we had done, right, case one was Afu Omer Shlosha Dvarim, Lahakel, Mechabden, Bayi Tamitos, that was one. Nichan is Hamugmar B'yomtiv, that was two. Osen Gedim Kulos, B'leila Psach Mecham, Osen was three. So the Gemara picks up on this, really on the second case, which is the case we're going to talk about. And the Gemara said, Amar Avasi, Machlokes Ligamer. So the machlokes is only in the case of ligamer, but not lahariach. Now what's the difference? You look at Rashi. Rashi says kishalzru chachamim, alzru elo kishamanicho kedei ligmor ligamer bo kelim shenosein. So when did they forbid it? So there was two ways, two times you would use this sort of incense. So one was you would use it not just to make the house smell good, but you would actually want to infuse a new smell into a vessel, right? So what you would do is you would put clothes or anything but clothes, right? You would perfume the clothes. The way you would do it is you'd make incense and then you'd hang, you know, you have the clothes over the incense and they would absorb the scent.
It wouldn't smell so bad.
Which is
still done
today in India and
other
countries.
And he says, so why did they forbid it? Delabla nazagufu elahakshar kelim. That's not considered for the immediate benefit of the body. It's considered for kelim, it's considered for, right, it's just for your clothes. Aval maniach levona gaichom lariach reach mutter shanaz hagufu. But if you want to do it just to smell the good scent, so then he would permit, because scent, I mean to smell it, so that would be directly for the body, lochol nefesh dami. And therefore it's similar to ochol nefesh, it's similar to food in the sense that the body is benefiting. V'hashta, so at this stage in the Gemara, the reason that the Chachamim forbid is because it's not Ochel Nefesh at all, right? Because they assume that what they're talking about is whether this is permitted in a case where there's no food benefit at all. And Rav Gamliel is even more lenient. But as we'll see, as Rashi notes, the Gemara is going to back off of this explanation later on in the Gemara. So the Gemara then continues, and this is what we read, everything here in the middle, we're going to have to read through it again, but we've seen most of this. So the Gemara says, Meisve, is that really the case? That what they're arguing about is whether you're allowed to burn this incense for the clothes, right? Does Rav Gamliel permit that? And Chachamim permit, and Chachamim would agree, and everyone would agree that you can use the incense to make, you know, the house smell good. Said, but we learn elsewhere that Ein Mechabden Beis Hamitzos B'Yom Tov, you can't sweep on Yom Tov. B'Shal Rav Gamliel Mechabden Amar Lazer Besadak Pam Harbei Nechnasi Achar Abba Beis Rav Gamliel V'Lo Mechabden Beis Hamitzos B'Yom Tov, and Abba Lazer Bar Tzadok said that it's not true. That what was going on was it's not true that what they used to do wasn't actually sweep on Shabbos or Yom Tov. They used to just sweep before Shabbos and Yom Tov and put the water before Shabbos and Yom Tov and then cover it and then lift it off on Shabbos. When the guests would come in, so Amrullo, and they said to him, the second clause is what's important for us. They wouldn't have this incense on Yom Tov. V'shal Beis Rabban Gamliel manichin, but Rabban Gamliel would. So Amar Elazar Bar Tzadok. Elazar Bar Tzadok had said, "Bam Marbe Nechnas Yachar Abba LeBeis Rabban Gamliel." I used to go with my father to Rabban Gamliel's house. V'loyam manichin as a mogmar b'Yom Tov, and they wouldn't use this incense on Yom Tov. Elo mevi'in our discoach shall barzel ma'ashnu some erev Yom Tov. They would bring these like metal grates, these with holes in them, and they would burn the incense, and then they would poke in ikvehim erev Yom Tov, and they would stop up the holes in these grates. And l'machar the next day, shorchem nechnasim, when the guests would come in, poschen es nikvehim v'nimtza b'ayin miskabrei lav, the incense would already be sort of built up, and they would pull off the cork, they'd pull off the stoppers, and the scent would go out into the air. Amrulai, they said that was the case. Him came out for Shabbos mutter lasas kenish be mutter on Shabbos as well. So Ella e itmar hachi itmar. So he said the context. What do you see in the brisa? That the context of this is not about making the clothes smell good. Right? It's not about infusing scent into the clothes. The entire machlokes is about this. Now we have like either those like plug-in Febreze things, right, that will, emit, whatever it is, a constant good scent. So that, they didn't have that. So they would use incense. And that's a machlokes. So Amar Abasi, so that's the case. What's a machlokes? Machlokes is a hariach. They're arguing about whether you can use the incense to make the house smell good. On Yom Tov al-Gamer, but if you're using it to infuse scent into clothing, oster. Then everyone agrees that it's oster. Okay. Now, why would that be? So, as Rashi had said in the Mishnah, if you go back now to the Mishnah, because Rashi said it originally, the last Rashi in the Mishnah, or the sweeping was oster because of the smoothing out of the holes. They're arguing about tzorech kol nefesh, right? So we've seen this before, that things that aren't directly food-related, if they are bodily pleasures that everyone would enjoy, so we permit them because they're shaveh l'chol nefesh, and therefore they're sort of like food. So they're arguing about whether this is shaveh l'chol nefesh, or whether you need shaveh l'chol nefesh. Right? So either they're arguing about whether everyone would want this incense, or more likely, simply, is it or is it not a requirement for non-directly food-related things that everyone would want to enjoy them? The Chachamim say yes, and since not everybody wants or needs incense, so therefore it's forbidden on Yom Tov. And Rabbi Gamliel says it's mutter.
I thought it was held as Echol Nefesh. It's an extension of Echol Nefesh.
It's clearly not Echol Nefesh directly, right?
Right.
It's a question of whether you can extend Ochel Nevesh to include this, and that's their machlokas, right? The Chachamim say no, because it's not, as Rashi understands, it's not Shavel Chol Nevesh, right? You can't extend Ochel Nevesh to something that's not actually food-related that most people don't want or don't need. And Rami Gamliel says either it is Ochel Nevesh or you don't need Shavel Chol Nevesh. But yes, that's the machlokas, whether you can extend it.
But we extended it for Karbanos, right?
We've already seen, can you extend it for Karbanos? Can you extend it for... Right, for Dasher Shemai Hamita, can you extend it for bathing, for washing your hands, your face? Right, we've seen it as like.
But that's Reyach, though, right? Smell.
Well, this is now we're introducing smell. Right, this is the.
So isn't it everybody holds it? Smell.
Well, no, that's the machlokas, right? That's exactly the machlokas. So then the Gemara pushes it a little bit farther and says, "Yibayilu." Okay, so that's for incense for the house, but Ma'ol La'ashen. So what's la'ashen? So Rashi says peiros ba'ashen b'samim liklo tama bosem. So this is a middle case, right? We had three cases so far. We've had incense for the house, which is the farthest removed from direct food related, and then we had smell, which is a little bit closer. The farthest was clothes. Clothes was totally not ochel nefesh. Then we had smell, which is somewhere in between. Now we get one step closer to ochel nefesh. What if you want your fruit to smell good, right? You want, I don't know why one would want to do this, but whatever, you want to infuse, what?
It's adding taste to it.
Well, so if it was taste, it would be mutter for sure, right? He's assuming that it's, it is, right? He's saying taste. Yeah, so can you make these smoky fruits? So that, okay, I sort of get. So the so Rav Yirmi Bar Abba Amar Rav Aser Shmuel Amar Mutter. So Rav Abba said it was Aser. And Rashi says the Tifno Kiseirahu, because it's right. It's just it's a you know. Yeah, there we go. It's an extravagant thing, right? The ain shavel chol nefesh a listeners v'hai ashen ika av melacha, and there's an av melacha obviously. Kedem farish rav time ravuna time eder rav mibneishu mechabah becholim kshnos and avkas and someone alone. Right? It's not actually the mavir; it's the mechabah that's the problem. Is that in order to make a smoke, you have to extinguish it, right? You light the fire and then you right extinguish it, so that you know the smoke that sort of you know emerges when you put out the coals, right? And you think about it, right? You have coals; they're hot. You put the incense on top of it, and then you pour water on it, and then, you know, and then, you know, psh, whatever, and then that smoke, right, will,
Aren't they just throwing the spice on the coals? You're saying that has the effect of extinguishing the coals.
Right. I mean, I'm using the water to make it more visual, but yeah, I mean, even just the spices, right, it makes it go out, and that, you know, does the smoke, and that's, So Rav says it's Aser because he requires seemingly even within food itself it to be shavel chol nefesh. Shmuel Omer Mutter. So Rashi says to ochel nefesh because no, it's in the food itself, right? So it's ochel nefesh and v'roy af laniyim el sheino motzu lehem, and it is shavel chol nefesh in the sense that many people would want it if they could afford it. It's just that most people can't afford it, but fundamentally people would want it, and therefore so they're either arguing about whether ochel nefesh itself needs to be shavel chol nefesh, or whether you can define shavel chol nefesh by what the average person can afford, but the average person would do if he could afford it, right? Because there's certain things that people just don't like, and or it wouldn't do, and certain things that everybody would do if only they could afford. Is that shavel chol nefesh?
If I'm going to cook something on Yom Tov, and the effect of putting the food on the fire is going to Can I still do that?
Yes, and that's the top of the next Amud, right? The Gemara is building up here. It's going in stages, right? So it went from the clothes to the house to the spices in the food, and then it's going to go to the food itself, which that everyone is going to use Gemara Mutter, and that's the top of Chav Gimel Mod Aleph.
And is it a real thing that I can't do something even so chol nefesh?
So we paskin like Shmuel. And when it comes to food itself, everything's mutter, either because it's ochel nefesh itself and you don't need shavel chol nefesh, or because anything with food is considered, right, you know, shavel chol nefesh, because, you know, everyone would have fancy food if only they could afford it. So there was always one or the other. So Rav Huna Amar Aser Mipnei Shemechabeh. And Rav Huna said it's Aser because you're extinguishing the flames. Why are you saying it's Aser because you're putting out the fire? Say it's because you're igniting the fire. So he says, you're right, but it's first is mechabah. You put the spices on, right? And it first puts it out, and then slowly the fire starts again, right? But there's that, you know, it's three stages, right? You have already burning coals, right? Or from before Yontif or from something else, whatever it is. But then the actual act of putting on the spices, on the incense, puts out the fire for a second, and then it does mavir, so he's just focusing on the first half of the process. And Amar Rav Yehuda, al-gabi gachelet aser, Rav Yehuda distinguished, and he said, it depends. If it's on a coal, so then it's aser, because you're putting out and reigniting this coal. But you could also make incense in another way. You don't have to put it on a coal. You could put it on red-hot, on red hot, on like a red hot piece of clay, right? So on cheres, so he says that would be mutter because there's no kibui, right? It doesn't put anything out, right? It's just a hot piece of clay, but it doesn't put out the flame at all. There's no flame. V'rabba amar al gabe cheres nami asr mishum to come molid recha, and Rabba says no, even on the clay it's asr. Why? Because you're creating a new scent into the cheres, into the piece of clay. Rashi says, "Shenichnas becheres shlo hayu bo reach va'asr midi rabbanan shahamolid davar chadash karav hu lo'osa melacha chadasha." So Rashi says, and this is what we're going to focus on, because this has become one of the most important issues in modern psak, is this one line that even if we can solve all the problems of mechabe and mavir because it's ochel nefesh, it's almost ochel nefesh, it's shavel ochel nefesh, whatever it is, he Rabba forbids it because you are infusing a scent into the clay. And that's Usr. And Rashi says, why? Because there's this prohibition, the Rabbanan, called molid. And again, Rashi says, Shemolid davar chadash. You're creating something new. Karav hu la'osa malacha chadash. And it's almost like you're doing a new malacha. Right? And this is what puzzles everybody. What is this thing called molid? Right? And what malacha is it like? Right? He just says, it's you can't create something new because it's like doing a malacha. What malacha? So here, the Acharonim really divide, right? Either you say it's sort of like Makah B'Patish, right? It's, you know, you're doing something new, or it's not really like any specific malacha. It's like every malacha has one thing in common, and that's that it's creative. It's Melech Machshevet, and so it could be that Molid is this like, in Hebrew they would call it like Melechet Machshevet Artilai, right? A pure Melechet Machshevet. It's just creative. And therefore, it's usur, even though it doesn't really. Yeah, like.
Artilai is an abstraction.
Yeah, abstract. Like, you know. You know, it's like, yeah, like, you know, Platonic. Like, Platonic Melechet Machshevet, you know, just the, you know, what exists in the world of the nomos,
like
or something.
The special core of each
element. Yeah, exactly. You know, and. Yeah. Well, that's exactly where we're going with this. Right. That's why I wanted to focus on Molid, and this is why it gets really important. And Rabba Yosef Damri Travayu, Sechufe Kasa Ashirai Biyamatova Asur, my time is for the same reason, what you can't do is Sechufe Kasa Ashirai. So Rashi says, that's Lichlos Kos Mevusam Al Ashirayim Shal Malbush, Lachlan and Reich Abosam Shibakos. That's why you can't do the same thing to close, right? Put clothes on top of this incensey thing, because it is molid reach. You're creating this this smell, and you're putting the smell into the clothing, and that's usur because of this iser drabbanan called molid. So the Gemara says, "Umay shnami molid lo umariach bo vekot mo umariach bo." But why is that different? You're allowed to on yantif to just take like spices, you know, not like, you know, already ground, but like the, you know, like the plant, right? Take the flower or something and just break it between your fingers so that the scent emerges from it. You know, like you have like a sweet smelling flower, and if you just rub it between your fingers, it gets, you know, the scent becomes more powerful. You're allowed to do that. So why is that different? So he says, that's fine. Because Hasam Recha Mio Isa, there is a scent. The Asufehu de Kamosif Recha. You're adding a scent to it. But hacha olidu hu de kamolid recha. Here you're just, but here you're, in the case of the flower, you're only adding a scent, and adding a scent is mutter. It's only creating a new scent, but not adding. And Rav Amar Rava, it said, al gabe gachelet, even if you do this on top of coals, it's mutter, nami mutter, midi dahavi abisra agumre. Because everyone agrees it's mutter to barbecue on Yom Tov, even though it's going to put out the fire. It doesn't matter. So from the standpoint of Mechabe, it is perfectly permitted. Okay. But what I want to focus on is really, and, you know, when you finish this, then we'll come back to some of the Mechabe issues briefly. But is this issue of Molid? Because it really is, as Howie noted, this became a huge issue. And I'll, you know, skip to it now, but we're going to have to build the case for it, for electricity. Right, because when the poskim first started trying to figure out why is electricity usur, right, if it's usur at all on Shabbos or Yom Tov, they didn't even know where to turn. And so the first shita that was introduced that electricity was usur was, I thought it was the Beis Yitzchak, but I was corrected. Someone sent me an email in response to our Hebrew shiur and said, no, that's not true. It was the Levushe Mordechai, or Winkler, who said the original reason he usured it was Amir al-Nachri, was because since you're telling the God, Goy in the power company to shovel more coal into the thing to get the generator going, so it's Amir Lanachri and Hanamu Lechaz Goy. That was the first attempt, but that was not really accepted. The first significant attempt, though, was, as we'll see, was Rav Yitzchak Shmelkas, the Beis Yitzchak, who said it's this, right? Electricity, the use of electricity is molid, right? Is, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's creative. And there is this catch-all derabanan called molid, that if you create something new, it's usur, because it's domed al-malacha in some sort of essential way, and that's why electricity is usur. So our end goal is to get to that, but we're going to see that there's so many shailas that come down to Molid, right? One is electricity, which is like the most famous modern one, but also under the question of Molid, and they're all on this in some form or another, just to get it, you know, at least get the ideas. Making ice cubes on Shabbos? Molid. Melting ice cubes on Shabbos? Molid. Right, potential. I mean, these are all shadows of molid. There may be other things. Using whipped cream, right? The reason some poskim say you can't use a bottle of whipped cream on Yom Tov. Molid, right? As I know in the Clanton Park area, it's machlokas Rai Weber and Rai Miller. Rai Weber is apparently machmir, and Rai Miller is megill. On the whipped cream. Though I don't understand his tshuva. He doesn't have a tshuva, right? I mean, he has like the from Toronto thing, right? So I looked it up. We'll get to it.
Do they have a similar mouthful case about squeezing toothpaste out of it too?
So that's another case, right? Is the toothpaste is it another case where people have the machlokas? I don't know if they argue about it. It's a similar one for sure. Can you use toothpaste on Shabbos? Right. One of the reasons brought is molid. The whipped cream one, you know, I'm jumping ahead, and we're going to try to build to all of these, but I don't understand his tshuva. Well, so I'll be honest. Maybe you'll understand. Maybe you can help me parse this, but I may have to ask Rabbi Miller because I don't get it. So according to the From Toronto email, it says that there are some poskim who say it's mutter, and some poskim who say it's also, and then it explains all the reasons, and we'll get to them. And Rabbi Miller says that in a case of great need, one can permit. And I'm like, what whipped cream emergency is he imagining? But okay, we'll get to it. I understand it's an emergency. It's an absolute emergency.
Strawberries, where's the whipped cream already?
Exactly. But all those shilas come down to possibly other things as well, but this, right? Making ice cubes, letting ice cubes melt. Right, using whipped cream, using toothpaste, electricity, chemical hand warmers, right? Chemical reactions, right? Is a question of molid. All these things.
What about lighting a match on Yom Tov?
Lighting a match on Yom Tov.
I thought that would be the most important.
That's on this too. Lighting a match on Yom Tov, molid, right? All these things, right? All of these shailas come under the category of molid, and every one of those, I may have taken off the matches at some point, but those are all shailas that were asked under this category of molid. So our goal, I hope it only takes two, but it may take 3 weeks, is to understand where this came from, what exactly this category is, and how it became this like incredibly expansive category. So we have two goals. One is to understand what it is, and the second thing is, regardless of what it is, does it even exist? Because we've seen that Rashi thinks it exists, but as we'll see in a moment, other Rishonim don't believe that this ever happened, right? Which throws this whole thing into chaos. So that is our goal for today. Okay.
That's why Rashi didn't use electricity.
That's why. Okay, fine. So Rashi, so that's where we're starting with. That's our starting point, is that Rashi has this idea that there is this idea called molid, which again, either it's some sort of makaba patish jarabanan, or it's some sort of essential mlechad machshevet. Now, as you know, we know, for anyone who's in the Hebrew shir knows that according to Rav Asher Weiss, makaba patish is just exactly that. It's mlechad machshevet in its purest form on a daraisa level. So where you would draw the line between the daraisa of pure mlechad machshevet, pure creativity, and derabanan creativity is, you know, not totally clear to me. But either way, that's what Rashi thinks molid is. Now the Meiri says, and two, this is in Chedusha Meiri, not in the base of Achira, he says, Rashi mefarish areach nichnas l'cheres. So Meiri notes that Rashi, even when he thinks about this notion of creating, he's very specific about what he thinks it means to create. Now, what does he think it means to create? He means it to infuse something else with a new quality. Right, he's creating scent in the cheres. Right, that's how Rashi phrases it. V'anu mefarshim al hareach hayotzei misham. Right, so Meiri says, but I don't agree. Right, because even if you think it's also create, there's two ways you could create. You can create a quality, or you can create, right, meaning you can infuse a new quality, or you can create something new entirely. Now, on the one hand, you might think that creating something new is worse because it's more creative, but on the other hand, it may be more ephemeral, right? So it could go either way, right? You could say that molid is worse if you're creating something new because it's more creative. On the other hand, you could say it's better because it means less bad because it's more ephemeral, right? Or you could say that imbuing something, a quality into something is better because it's only adding a quality to something, or you could say it's worse because it lasts longer. So it could go both ways.
I think you're saying that you're transforming something.
Right, the cheres.
The cheres.
Exactly.
If it's just the scent in the air, that wouldn't be a...
Exactly. And I assume that that's really what Rashi is saying, right? That Rashi is saying it has to be something with some sort of staying power, but it really could go either way. You don't know. But the Meiri says, no, he includes within... in molid, this sort of amorphous, ephemeral thing, as long as you're creating something new, that's usher. And that's what he says, shareach hayotza yideo, or loya murgosh klal kodim. What's the problem? That the scent wasn't sensed, right? That's the point. You didn't perceive it before, now you do. Okay. Now, Shulchan Aruch paskens like this. In number three, then my akvar.
When was the cheres put on the coals?
No, the cheres wasn't put on the coals. The cheres itself was red hot, and you put the spices directly onto it.
I thought you had put the cheres on the coals.
No.
The spice on the cheres.
I mean, maybe that's how you got it red hot, but so it doesn't matter how it got red hot.
Indirectly on the coals.
No, it'd only be a problem to put it directly on the coals, because that would extinguish the flame. If you put it on, even if the cheres is on the coals, it doesn't matter because it won't hit the coals.
But you're not extinguishing the flame because
right, you're not, and that correct, and that's exactly the point. That the only problem here is molid and not mechav.
Just,
right,
it's the source of the heat to get the
it doesn't matter how the cheres came out. The cheres could be on coals. You could have just stuck the cheres in the fire and pulled it out. Whatever you did, the point is that you're not. We've eliminated the problem of mechaba and mavir because the spices aren't going to hit the flame; they're going to hit the cheres. And now the only problem is this other thing called molid. So Shulchan Aruch paskens this way that whatever exactly this molid is, it's aser, right? So in three it says in kfar haya munach min bosem al zal beged ze binyan shivar nechmas reach bosem bebeged mutro niach. Oh, sorry, this is Shulchan Aruch Rav. I'm jumping the gun here. What did the Gemara say, though? The Gemara had said that creating something new is asur, but the Gemara had said explicitly it's distinguished between either infusing the scent into the cheres or, releasing the scent into the air, which was asur, and what was mutter was mosif, right? It was if you have, a flower, a good-smelling flower, the Gemara said you're allowed to roll it between your fingers, right? So what does that tell you? That tells you that this, whatever this isur is called molid, it's only asur if you create something new. But increasing a quantity is not molid, right? So Rashi and the Meiri may argue whether molid is about infusing a new quality into something or creating a new creation, but they both agree that it's something new. But when the Gemara says you're allowed to roll the flower between your fingers to release more scent, that's because it already smells. Now you're just making the scent more potent. That is mutter. And the Shulchan Aruch Rav notes this and paskens that way, right? He says it very clearly. Vim kvar ha munach min bosem zel beged ze binyan shekvar nichnas reach habosem bebeged mutar laniach alav v'yomtiv. He just draws the logical conclusion, which is, if the Gemara says you're allowed to add scent, then the same thing is true of infusing scent, right? If you have clothes that you had already put perfume into, you already put incense to before Yom Tov, and now you just want to give it a stronger smell, that would be mutar, because that's not molid. Right, you're just increasing the quality and the strength of the scent.
You could argue.
Well, you could, but it is the simplest understanding of the Gemara.
Well, when he says mostly, you have something here that smells, and you rub it, and it smells more. Okay, let's say I put the bosom on the gefilte, and it makes and it's nice and smelly in the room. Can I come and put more? Both among the
Gefilte? Possibly,
according
to Shulchan Aruch, for sure.
But you're still molding.
Correct.
When they talk about molding, I'm taking something...
You're right. From a Meiri perspective, maybe in that case not, because...
I'm taking something that doesn't have a smell.
Maybe yes.
I'm molding
I don't know.
A new smell. What's the difference to me? In that particular object, I'm molding something...
You're right. So, meaning... The Shulchan Aruch Rav is building on the Rashi model, right? I don't know if he would build the Meiri model. Right, because on the Rashi model,
how are you being molded in your case?
Because you're not creating...
No, because in the Rashi case, you're infusing into it, it already has the scent. That's exactly the thing.
You're creating something new, let's say the Mary scent, from the thing that you're putting on the
room. Correct. So,
you're looking at something new in the air of the room. But I understood moldy meaning you took an object and you were molding something from that object. I don't care if something's being molded somewhere else, right?
According to Meiri, that might be true. But according to Rashi, the problem is not the spice, it's that what you're infusing, and if it already has a scent.
So looking at it from a physical point of view, so somebody's taken some smell and put it into the base. So I'm taking it... more of the same smell and shoving it further into the bag.
Correct.
Or a different part. So I'm molding something in part of the bag that doesn't
have well, that's always, so that's always going to be the question, right? And this is what's going to become important, which is, yeah, if you put it in one sleeve and now it's in the other sleeve, right, that's a new baguette, presumably. Now, I understand that
or
from a physical...
Or what's the difference between this fiber or the fiber?
No, I understand, but from a halachic perspective, I assume we'll do it more from what we perceive, right? The whole point is perception.
Well, whereas I put this thing between your fingers, there's a smell, and you're making a smell stronger. Okay, that's different than taking smell and shoving it into the air. Taking smell and shoving it
I hear.
The creation is here. It's not over there.
Right.
It's on the
I hear. Right. I mean, you could definitely look at it that way. And definitely from a scientific perspective, you could get there. On the other hand, if molid is just a derabanan, which says you need to perceive something really new, right?
So really new in what? In where? What
well, according to the Rashi, in the object, right? Now I understand this fiber, that fiber, but the point is you pick up the object, it smells, right? The fact you're not perceiving the different fibers, you might be aware of it. I assume that's his cheshbon. I hear what you're saying, definitely with the Meiri, I hear what you're saying, right? Because there's a difference between the cases, because now you're releasing scent from this incense that didn't exist before. From Rashi, I hear what the Shulchan Aruch Rav is saying.
Conversion is not moila. No, well, to Rashi it is.
Conversion.
Well, it's not.
Wait, like Geirus conversion?
No, conversion. Like, changing the form.
Because that's Aser Mitakin Mana. That's different. That's different.
You can do that. You have to.
No, you can't do that. It's Mitakin Mana.
Oh, okay.
Wait, it is a Darabanan of creating. It's just a different one, right?
Okay.
Different problem. I mean, very similar problem, honestly. But
converting, if you take the, let's say, for argument's sake, it's lavender, right? You take a piece of lavender and you crush it.
So that's for sure mutter, right?
So you're basically converting,
and that would be mutter, correct? Because the scent exists.
Mola.
Well, that's what the Gemara says explicitly, right? That's its case, right? Where you and that the Gemara says is fine,
mola.
Right? Because it's right because it's an increase in quantity rather than quality. Now this line becomes infinitely important because, and I'm giving it away, and we'll see it inside later. But I want just to see why this becomes important very quickly is because. Once the Beis Yitzchak became widely accepted vis-a-vis electricity, right, that the issur of electricity is because it's molid, that tells you that the only thing that's usur is creating something new.
Like to turn up the light, is what you're saying.
Well, a light maybe not, but not even the new circuits. You'll see there are people that, but
converting from AC to DC.
Or very simply, the reason that Rabbanim tell people, right, on Hatzalah, that they can turn their radio lower, right, in shul, right? Turning it up, if you can't hear it, so maybe it's because Nevesh can't hear, but why can they turn it down in shul? Because of the Beis Yitzchak. Because if electricity is only molid, so it's only a problem if you turn it off or you turn it on. But if you raise the volume or lower the volume, right, it's not creating anything new. It's just decreasing and increasing, right, quantity, and that's fine, right? Because the Beis Yitzchak becomes extremely influential, many of the heterim of electricity on Shabbos are built around that concept.
So if radio is on, you can turn it higher, turn it lower.
That's exactly the argument that's made. Whether that's true or not hangs on this question, right? And you will see, that's like I know this is always weird to me, but like smicha students in Israel, like Rabbanut students, like they're taught very much Beis Yitzchak, at least many that I've seen, they teach them the Beis Yitzchak model, and therefore you will see them turning up and, on, not turning it on, but like if the alarm goes off, right, the radio, so we'll just turn it down, right, on Shabbos, because, yeah, it's mutter, right? But that, as we'll see, and these makars look longer than they are because I'm not reading everything. What I did at some point was I included, summary articles. You can look at some of the makaros that make these points, but basically half of Machon Somet's heterim are built on this base Yitzchak, on this, these just three lines,
okay.
Right?
With the
Shulchan Aruch Rav Kohn, exactly.
But what this means is, like the phrase of Rabbi Miller, if I squeeze whipped cream on the strawberries, and, or if there's already whipped cream on the strawberries before Shabbos, and I come after Shabbos, I can put more whipped cream on.
Well, no, that might be different, but we'll come back to why whipped cream might be wrong. But he thinks whipped cream's mutter anytime it's a whipped cream emergency. So anytime.
So how is turning the electricity higher and lower different than chitul the gechalim or tipping the oil lamp or?
So if you think it's only molid, so that's why it's different, right? Because molid, you're allowed to increase quality. You're right. If you view electricity as aish, it would be usur, right? And that's why if you take the Chazon Aish model, it's usur, right? That's bone, actually.
See, even if you don't, one of the concerns about those two things are kibui.
If you viewed electricity as aish, it would be a problem, but we don't,
yeah.
Usually. Or bone, but that's a... I'm giving it away, but this is where we're going.
You can turn it just... too much and then, you know, click it off, for example.
Correct. Yeah.
But
of
again,
course.
Conversion is not molad. And electricity already exists as current. So what's the issue with turning a light on? I'm just simply converting one form of electricity to another.
Right. So converting in a very specific way is an usur, right? It's converting scent to scent. But if you're turning a light on, you're turning electricity into something new. That's a different type of conversion because you're halachically you're creating a new light, and light adds an extra element because then it might be aish, and then you have really another element. But again, the reason this becomes all important is because of this thesis. This is why this becomes massively important in Pesach.
You think molid is different from every other malach that we ever did?
It's not a malach, it's a rabbanan, exactly.
Well, malach is rabbanan, right?
It's different from any whatever it is. Yeah.
I can't say I wrote three things here and I can write another two letters because
correct.
I've changed the quality.
Correct.
Of
it's different in that sense. It's different from everything else.
It is.
It's magical.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
but it's
to me it's even more amazing because usually rabbanans are things that have a vague association with the Doraisa, but this is something that looks more Doraisa. Then the Doraisa that it's based on. You know, if it would follow the usual pattern, I would say, you know, suppose I was writing the Torah, I would say, you know, Lo Tolidu B'Yom HaShabbat. And
that's basically that's what Rav Asher Weiss says, right? Rav Asher Weiss says electricity is not molid. He says it's makwa patish because he does exactly what you did. He says that the way malacha works is, right, Bikitsur is Rav Asher Weiss takes the exact same argument based on Yitzchak, but on Doraisa level. Mm-hmm. And he notes in Yerushalmi, there's a machlokas Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, the Yerushalmi says that they used to sit down and they would take every act and they would say, can we find a malacha for it? And if they couldn't find a malacha for it, they called it makav patish. So Rav Asher Weiss says, what is the Yerushalmi saying? The Yerushalmi is saying that anything that was obviously creative, they said it must be usur. Then they tried to figure out why it was usur. If they didn't know why it was usur, then they called it makav patish. But exactly as you said, right? The way Rav Asher Weiss and Rav Hirschler and Rav Osner conceptualize malacha on Shabbos is that we start with the question, is it creative? Once it's creative, we find a malacha for it. If we don't have a malacha, we call it makav patish.
Okay, so
but then how you explain the difference in makav patish and molid is a question I'm still not 100% sure on.
I mean, just to add to that, the question about quantitatively adding to the smell. you add a fiber, or even the same fiber, but more smell. The same thing as you finish a complete garment, but there are a couple of threads, you know, left on it. So
correct, and that we call correct, and that we, but that we call makav patish.
Right. So
and that's the problem, right?
Yeah,
part
so
of the problem is
the
where
same.
So makav patish and molid seem to be on the same, sort of trajectory, but the question of where you draw the line and you call it daraisa and where the rabbanan is not totally clear, and maybe we'll come to some resolution as we go through it. But these are the types of issues that Poskim are really grappling with. And if it wasn't complicated enough, let's just throw in one more wrench into this, is number 4 and 5, is that all of this assumes that we hold of molid at all. But remember, our Gemara brings in molid as an explanation while it has a problem with the explanations provided because of Mechabe. Right? I mean, we have, this is bracketed. There was a Mavir Mechabe discussion at the beginning. There's a molid discussion in the middle, and then a machabit discussion at the end. Now, what is the conclusion? So according to Rashi and many Rishonim, the conclusion is there are two potential problems that you can that you have to solve every time you talk about any of these issues. One is molid, and two is the daraisa of mavir mechabe. But the Rif and the Rambam say, no, this was all some fancy havamina, but it disappears, right? This really isn't true. Like, we started with talking about burning and extinguishing, we end with burning and extinguishing, and molid doesn't exist. There's no such thing. It never happened. Right? So the Rif says, Amar of Yehuda, agabe gechlet, osur of nation, mechabe agabe cheres mutter. The whole problem here is mechabe, is extinguishing, and therefore you're allowed to do it on clay, you're not allowed to do it on coals. And then he has a whole discussion in the middle, and he says, lo kasher, kam bechelet shal matechet, kam bechelet shal eitz. You know, it depends whether we're talking about wood, whether we're talking about metal, right? On metal it'll be mutter, on wood it'll be osur, amar le abayler of Yosef, maishna mibisra agumrei. Now, we'll see that later in the Gemara, but he basically just gets rid of the whole molid discussion. He says that was a weird havamina, but lahalacha, it's irrelevant. The only question here is you're allowed to have incense if it's not going to extinguish the flame, and if it's going to extinguish the flame, you can't. And therefore, we distinguish. You can put it on hot metal, you can't put it on coals. You can put it on hot clay, but you can't put it on hot wood. Right? And that's it. That's the end of the story. There is no molid. The Rambam paskens that way as well. In Ma'ashin, Biktoris b'Yom Tov, b'bnei shu, mechabe. Right? The reason you can't use incense on Yom Tov is because it's extinguishing. V'apilu ariach ba, even to make a scent, v'ein tzarach lomer legamer as a bias, and for sure to make the house smell good, v'etzakilim shu osur, u'motu la'ashin tachas aperos, and you're allowed to do it under fruit, k'deish yuchshur la'achila, because it prepares them to eat. K'mosh u'motu l'tzot basra l'eish, u'mam t'incense achardo b'kachel t'shomatecheh. And he goes on with other cases, but the Rambam and the Rif reject this whole molid thing. That was a weird havamina, and it doesn't exist. That half complicates it, but it gets worse, because as we'll see, the Rambam, in 3 out of the 4 cases in Shas, where the Gemara has molid, reinterprets the Gemara and gets rid of molid. Then in one of them he accepts molid, and in one case it's not clear that there is molid, and he introduces molid. Right? So the Rambam seems like he rejected molid, but it's not clear, so there's a reason this sugya is an absolute nightmare in Pesach, but fine. For the moment, let's just note that the Rif and the Rambam reject it, but Shulchan Aruch accepts it, and this is why it becomes important, because in 6, Enos and... Now, this also breaks all rules of Pesach, yeah, because the Shulchan Aruch is passing against the Rif and the Rambam. Don't ask me how this happened, but fine. He says, Enos and Mugmar, Dehainu Lefazer, Minim Bezom, Al Gecholim, Bein Arich, Bein Gamer, Baitel, Al Kelim, Am Oseg, De Litein, Reach Tov, Bepeirs, Lematkon, Lachila, Mutter, Filo and Mephazon Gabi Mechelet Shall 8, Hagav, Azur Lizchov, Kosmibusam, Abagatha Mishnah, Demolid Ben Rechari. The Ramah makes it clear. Well, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't actually explain here why he says it, but in the Beis Yosef he does accept the Molid. As far as the Ramah says, it's clear the reason this is also is because of Molid. Okay.
Just out of curiosity, what does the tour hold?
The tour, I think, holds of Molid. By the way, it's not just actually, it's not true. It's not just the Rambam and the Rif. The Rush also rejects it. So how we got here, I don't know. I mean, all three, right? All three of the big, all understand the Gemara that way, and we still accept the halacha. It's not totally clear. Okay, fine. I take it back. The Shulchan Aruch is totally clear about it. The Ramah is totally clear about it. Shulchan Aruch says it's Aser, but he doesn't say why here. So, okay.
Maybe because he
doesn't
want to go against the
riff. The riff, you would think, right? Okay, fine. So, the... right, you're right. Probably Shulchan Aruch, at least here, doesn't clearly accept it. But the Ramah does. Okay, so if you look in Yechav Adas in 7, I gave you just because, you know, to summarize issues. He was asked the following shayla, and then he brings up this discussion. He says, Hayim mutter lazes me bosim b'shabas o b'yom tov b'yadayim, can you basically put on perfume, either on your hands or on your face? Right? Right? Okay, fine. So he says, well, what does it come down to? So he says, tshuva. The Gemara of Maseches Beitz, Rabbi Yosef Zamin Shravayus, Chufei Kasa Ashiroi B'yomatava Aser. My time in Mishum to come Olad Reicha. Perish Rashi, Mishum Mishum Olad Reich B'vgadav. Right? So the Gemara says, there's this idea of molid, and Rashi says that that's exactly what molid means. You can't infuse a scent into something. V'chein pasuk ha'ma. Ulam, harif, Harambam viharosh hishmito alachazu. Right, the three big amudei hora'a rejected because of Rabbeinu Hagon, Rabbi Chaim ben Atar Zal, the Tevar Rishon LeZion, v'chdushei lebeitza. So the Rishon LeZion points out here. Where did they get this? Shein aloha karab Rabbi Yosef pesed, that we just rejected, right? That was a havamina, that was a position of Rabbi Yosef. Menesha Rabba, Rav Ashi, Shein amoram, Mucharim, Yosef, Chokim alayim, they just argue on him. Aloha kibasroi, v'docha, the Rav Amagin, Shehevi, aloha dinzen, they reject the Magen Mishnah, who paskins like this. Ulam, Marana Beit Yosef, my original point was right. No, the Beit Yosef does bring it. The Shulchan Aruch is building on it. Ulam Marana Beit Yosef, Hivi Lalacha Devei Rav Rav Yosef Hanala Hachmir. The Rambam, Rif, and Rush all rejected, and the Beit Yosef, again, breaking all his rules of Psak, Paskins like Rashi, right? Which, this is by the way, the Ramah's critique of the Beit Yosef, is A, your rules of Psak make no sense, two, you never hold by them, right? That's what he says in the introduction. He's like, I don't know what you're doing, but fine. Right? There are other big names, not just Rashi, right? The Bahag, the Rajba, but still, the Rishon LeZion notes that for some reason, Rif, Rash, Rambam all say it's Mutter, Holam Nagul Hachmir. Therefore, it's something which might be Mutter, but everyone treats it as Asher, so you aren't allowed to permit it. So the Rishon LeZion takes a compromise. He says, I don't understand why this is usher. I just don't get it. But everyone treats it as usher. Shulchan Aruch thinks it's usher against his rules of psak. So I will say it's usher unless you have another suffix. If you introduce some other suffix, then I'll permit it, because I don't really think it's usher, but we treat it that way. So based on that, he says, okay, v'hinei turei azav kosev, she'asr l'kohanim anosim kapeim b'shabas ab'yom dov l'rchot yedem b'mayim sh'nasabem mevradim. The Taz, based on this, said that before people duchen, they used to put perfume on their hands. Right? They used to wash their hands with perfumed water. I don't know why, but that's what they did. V'hinei sh'molidin reach v'yedem, right? They wanted their hands to smell good. Okay. And the Taz said that's asr. Because you're infusing scent into your hands.
Probably mint they were talking about.
Mint.
It's rose water.
No, it's rose water, but I don't know.
Oh, rose water. Do that.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. So they do that.
They also, when they take out, some shuls, they take out the Sefer Torah, they spray rose wizard.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. So that's what it is. I don't know why, but fine. Unfortunately, that's the best, you know.
That covers my lower eyes.
Yeah. So the Taz says it's usher because you're infusing scent into your hands. It can cause them to walk in Avram. Vodayin v'shalom meshiv tanina. Ulam hagon bal chacham tzvi hochiach lahatir. The chacham tzvi says it's mutter. Me'am mishnah b'shabbos, because the mishnah on Shabbos said, m'nei melachim sachin shem and veret al-makodzim b'shabbos, that the princes used to put on, rose oil on their wounds on Shabbos. It came darkam l'asos b'chol, because that's what they did during the week also, so it's no problem with refua. And it's clear, it's a perfume. L'chein nisek b'tur v'shulchan aruch. A normal person isn't allowed to put on this oil for medicinal purposes because it's really expensive and you only use it for medicine. In a place where it's very common, and people put it on as perfume all the time, so what you see, this is no problem of molid reich in human flesh. V'chein hela b'shut shelas yayvitz. V'chein yesh l'chiyach o l'hakam agam rashavish shemutzer l'rchos pan v'yadar v'akvas levona v'afer yasmin. Right, and you find that you're allowed to wash your hands with jasmine water, jasmine ash, shumin bosem, which is some sort of spice, obviously. V'ein l'chos mishum ashar seyar, tokh de ashivshir v'shas arachit, shizin zin dabashim miskabin, v'kaim along, etc., etc. So either they passing like the Meiri, or
because we would be a problem, right?
Correct. So either they passing like Meiri, that the only type of molid that's usher is, right, that we paskin molid's usher, but only if you're creating a new scent rather than infusing. Or alternatively, they passing like Rashi, but they say that infusing can only be in non-humans.
In clothes.
Right? In clothes, in kalim, in something more permanent, right? Your hands, the smell goes, right, or human beings, right? We don't you know, a perfumed human being isn't different than a regular human being. A perfumed clothing might be more different, however you want to conceptualize it. And then he finishes off, V'amnam hagon, Rabbi Yosef Chaim, Mibavel, B'shut Rav Polim, Hel l'hachmer, Ozreach, B'osar Adam, G'divrei Ataz, V'amogin Avram. But the Ben Yishchai is machmir. Ulam, B'galot, Niglot, Divrei Hagon, Rabbi Chaim, Ben Atar, Rishon L'tiyon, Anal, Shilfi, Divrei Harif, Aram, Varash, Engel, Israel, Ozreach, V'shabit, V'echra, Hechzek, Achav, Hagon, Rabbi Shalom, Shulol, בשוט נווה שלום וכנעל, נראה שדיינו לוחוש לאחר על הזריח שבשיריים ובתחת, בשר אדם אין לוחוש. But Rebbe Ovadia Paskins like the Rishon Lezion, which is, I don't know why molid is usher at all, and therefore I'll only do it when I'm sure it's usher, but since there's a suffix about human flesh, I'll be mekel. So what do you have, lahalacha? So you have Rashi, Rajba, Sefer HaTrumos, who say, molid is usher bevadai. You have the Rav, Rush, Rif, Rambam, who say Molid is Mutter. Then you have the Rishon Lezion, who says, I have
Molid
doesn't exist. That's what I mean. Molid doesn't exist. It's not a category, right? The Rishon Lezion says, the Shlosha Amulei Hara'a say it doesn't exist. Rashi says it does. The Beis Yosef, out of character, Paskins, like Rashi against Rush, Rif, and Rambam. So, but he does. So I don't know what to do. So what I'll do is I'll say it's probably mutter, but I won't matter it, unless I have another sniff lahakel. Rabbi Ovadia says, right, well, that's how we should paskin. Right? Svaradim should paskin that we treat it as usur unless there's any sniff lahakel. So therefore, the example he gives, human flesh, Taz, Magen Avraham, following the Ramah, that Molid is actually usur, say it's usur. Right, Rabbi Ovadia says no, since it's a suffix whether it's molid, and I don't really think molid's usur, so take it together and it's mutter. Now, that becomes important because in every molid shaila, therefore, what you're going to have is the position of Rashi Udi'ime and the Ramah, that molid is usur, it's a real isur. You have the position of anyone who's willing to just paskin straight like the Rambam and the Rif and say, well, molid's just mutter. But then you're going to have Rabbi Ovadia and poskim like him are going to hedge and say, every time I can find any other sniff lahakel, I'll be mekel. Now this becomes important because half the time in molid shailas, this is the question, right? Is it sort of looks like molid, but I can explain why it might not be, right? So according to Rabbi Ovadia's methodology, what you'll say is that because anytime there's a suffix, I'll be mekel. So as we'll see, you know, whipped cream, right? Part of the suffix by whipped cream is going to be, is there such a thing as molid when it's temporary, right? Because you make it into a foam and then it turns into a liquid, you know, a few minutes later, right? You try to eat it while it's still foamy, right? Still whipped, right? So cream, is that called molid if it's temporary? Or what is it inside the thing? It's liquid and it doesn't become a solid, right? It becomes a foam. Is the difference between a liquid and a foam or a foam to a liquid enough of a change to be molid, right? Each of those are svikos. So according to Bovadia, right, because it's a suffix, how to define molid, so whipped cream is going to be a shaila. And therefore, if it's a shaila, there's no shaila. Every time there's a shaila, it's mutter, right? So this sort of three approaches to molid, either it never exists lamaskana, or it totally exists lamaskana, or it might exist lamaskana, so give me another reason to be mekel, and I'll be mekel, right, will continue through psak as we go through it. Okay, we'll stop with that. So next week...